Morning, everybody. Another welcome from Lizzie and I. Lizzie and I lead the church together, and it's great to have you here. Well done for surviving the temptation to watch England play. Of course, like me, you're all excited about 11:15 tomorrow when the mighty Wales begin their campaign. I'm talking about the World Cup in rugby, if you've no idea what I'm talking about. And clearly you didn't choose to avoid the World Cup. You just came because you didn't even know it was on. Anyway, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I don't know if the welcome team are passing Bibles around. I can't even see a welcome team, but maybe there's some people who could pass some Bibles around if you would like them. We're going to look through the first 16 verses today of Luke chapter 10, because through this month, we've been thinking how to invite others, what it means for us as followers of Jesus to do what it is that he did to us. God, the Almighty, inviting us to share his company, his presence, his love, his goodness, his power, and then asking us, frankly, to do the same. A few weeks ago, I talked about Andrew, the very first person to share an invitation in the New Testament, whose invitation to his brother Simon was to come and see. And then the week after that, we talked about Jesus' invitation for the disciples to come, follow him, and then to go and make disciples. Come and see. And then Jesus said, come and go. And last week, our Simon spoke about going and showing, thinking about how we might be able to think what the good news of Jesus means to people in our culture, in our day, in our society, in a similar kind of way that the Apostle Paul did in Acts when he met a whole bunch of people who thought and lived very differently to him. So that's the background, and today we're going to jump into Luke 10, but before I do that, I just want to say a massive thank you to everybody who helped make yesterday happen. Yesterday was our Super Saturday. I hope you either came or heard something about it. We had probably between 400 or 500 people come through the gates here yesterday on a beautiful sunny day. We gave out loads of free food. Nobody's got food poisoning. Thank Jesus for that. So everyone's still alive. That's good news. We did tours around the crypt. A massive shout out to Chris and Naomi for doing the tours around the crypt. We had, I think, in the course of the afternoon, like over maybe 150 people go around the crypt, maybe even more than that. Basically, I said to people, are you going on a tour around the church? And they said, we're going to the crypt. That was the big sell. The big cell was the crypt. Everyone wants to be around the dead bodies. And it was great to then stand at the top of the stairs to let people in and then see the people scurrying out who came out early because they couldn't deal with being around the dead bodies. But we also couldn't get some people out, which was slightly weird in its own way. But there we go. Thank you to everybody for doing that. Simon, right now, Simon on our team is helping out with the youth, so he can't hear this. But I also really want to honour him because Simon pulled all of yesterday together. And he's also done all of these new giving cards and the welcome cards and all this kind of stuff and all the boards. So what I want us to do is give a big shout and cheer. And then I'm going to tell Simon what that noise was that he heard later on. Is that okay? Are you up for this? All right, so 1, 2, 3, go. Woo, 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 woo. Very good. Thanks, everyone. Okay, Luke chapter 10 then. This is what Jesus has to say to his followers as he sends them out on mission to invite others. And what we're going to do is go through it bit by bit and cut it up and talk about each verse as it comes. So, Luke chapter 10, I'm reading from the NIV version. If you've got the option of different versions on your phone, it's what you should have been given if you've got a book in the church. All right, after this, the Lord, that's Jesus, appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Okay, they didn't have internet in those days. They couldn't do like a targeted ad. They just sent people to the different towns and villages to say, hey, Jesus is coming. So Jesus was kind of being heard about by a number of people in these days. So this was his instructions to those people. Verse 2. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. What I want to comment on first is these first two verses. They begin with vision and prayer. The only way that we are going to be a community that welcomes other people is if we capture the vision of God, that's what he wants to do too. It's his vision, it's his mission, it's his heart for the place where we live or where we work or where we hang out that we share in as we begin to think, I would love for you to know the good news of Jesus too. I don't know about you, but when I'm walking around the city center, often my heart kind of breaks and feels a bit overwhelmed by how many people are living without a sense of hope in their lives. I was listening to the radio yesterday and I heard an interview with Noel Gallagher. And Noel's releasing a new song, and it's called This Is The Place. And it's inspired by the poem that Tony Walsh wrote. I don't know if you remember when the arena bombing happened a couple of years ago, and then there was a gathering. I think it was either at St. Anne's Square or it was in the town centre. It was in town centre somewhere. And Tony Walsh read this poem called This Is The Place. It was all about how amazing Manchester is and what Manchester has done for the world. And it was exciting to hear. And I just read it afresh this weekend. It's amazing. What a great place that we live. And Noel Gallagher got inspired by the title of this poem and wrote a song. And they played it on the radio. And this is the chorus, i.e. the most important part of the song. This is the message that Noel Gallagher wants everyone to hear about Manchester. If you ain't got no love, if you ain't got no faith, if you come to find what you're looking for, I can tell you now, this is the place. Yay. Manchester's a place to come if you haven't got any love, you haven't got any faith, you don't really know what life's about, but let's have a good time. That's all the world has to offer. That's it. You might make some money, and then you might realize that money isn't the source of happiness. You might become famous or popular and realize that actually there's still an emptiness inside. There's all the sorts of things that the world has to offer, but it's nothing compared to what Jesus has to offer us. The harvest, Jesus says, is plentiful. There are loads of people who are looking for some kind of meaning in their lives. But challenge is, the workers are few. So what does he say for us to do about that? Ask the Lord of the harvest. Pray. Say to God, oh, I feel so moved on behalf of the people in this city, Lord. But just notice what he asks us to pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Oh, Lord, would you send people to go and share the good news of your love with these people? And he says, yeah, great. Off you go. So often our prayers, we find that some part of it, Jesus says, yeah, you're the answer and you can help me now. Now that you've captured my heart, let's work together on this. But it starts with vision and prayer. And if it doesn't start with vision and prayer, we go out and we try and do all these things for Jesus without Jesus with us. And it becomes overwhelming and challenging and difficult. But look at the next bit. Jesus is really honest about the fact that it is challenging and difficult. Get this. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. That's a vision, isn't it? What do wolves do to lambs? Have a little think about it. Would you like to be surrounded by those dogs? Attacked, mauled, battered, killed. Let's be honest, that's what happened to Jesus, right? And this is his encouragement to us. Thanks, Lord. The reality is that we go with our vulnerability. We might be sent and commissioned by Jesus. Yeah, go, you can do it. But we'd go recognizing our vulnerabilities. I don't know what makes you feel vulnerable or weak. how about this? If you're feeling vulnerable or weak already, that you don't really want to go and do it, but I guess I'll do it because Jesus has commissioned me and I'm going to be eaten like a wolf might eat a lamb. Verse 4 adds the pressure even more. Jesus says, don't take a purse or a bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the road. So the first bit, don't take a bag or a coat or sandals, basically means you don't need any resources. Don't take anything with you. You'll be dependent on the people that you meet for hospitality and for food and for water. It's basically the Lord saying, I don't want you to depend on the normal things you depend on. The stuff that you normally look to security for, don't worry about that because it's not going to help anyway. What's going to help is you knowing me. Because as we walk with Jesus, he walks with us. And don't greet anyone on the road. He's saying to his disciples, be focused, be intentional about what it is that you're going to do. Don't be distracted. Don't be put off. Don't think, oh, actually, there's a better thing to do. Well, I won't talk about Jesus to my friends right now because, you know, they've just started talking about which particular brand of tea they like. And that's a bit easier to talk about. So let's talk about that instead. I don't want to bring Jesus into that. We go with our vulnerabilities and we go with our weaknesses and knowing that we don't have it all together. How encouraging is that? We don't have to have it all together. Jesus doesn't expect us to have it all together. He doesn't expect us to have all the answers. He doesn't expect us to be super confident and know exactly what we're doing. We go vulnerable and weak and dependent upon him. And the writer and speaker, Brené Brown, says this: vulnerability is our most accurate measurement of courage. Now, I would suggest that one of the reasons the Marvel films have been so popular in recent years is because everybody loves the idea of being a hero, right? But what does the hero tend to do? Overcome incredibly difficult circumstances by just pushing through. And most of us love watching it and get inspired by it, and then we leave the movie theater and think, oh, wouldn't it be great to be like that? And then go back to not being like that. Jesus is inviting us to become a hero of heaven, as it were, as we respond to his invitation. So we go with vision and we go with prayer. We go recognizing our own weakness and vulnerability. And what do we do when we go? Well, let's look at verse 5-7. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Now, there's lots that we could say about this, and I haven't got time to go into it fully, but the first interaction is really crucial, clearly. When Jesus said, say peace to this house, that was in a way just the normal greeting of the time. Shalom or salam is still a greeting in the Middle East. It's people saying peace to one another. The point is, we go and try to be a blessing to those that we're meeting. We don't go all antagonistic. We don't go all guns blazing. I'm going to tell you about Jesus and beat you over the head with the Bible. Once when I was younger, I was at school and I really felt compelled to tell my friends about Jesus. So I did. And I really felt compelled to invite them to follow Jesus. So I did. And when I say compelled, like I really did, I basically bullied a guy into the kingdom of God and wouldn't leave him alone until he prayed a prayer to accept Jesus into his life. That's not the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about. Don't be that person. Don't be that Christian, okay? We'll get to what we do when we're not accepted in a little while. What's all this stuff then about the peace resting on them or coming back to you? Well, it's to do with how you're received. Communication is two-way, right? There's our part in communication, what we give, what we share, and there's another part of communication on the other side, how the person receives us. And you get to choose how well you are received in one way or another. Because if you go in all antagonistic and difficult, the likelihood is the person who is receiving you will put up loads of walls and blocks and no thank you very much. If you go with a sense of wanting to be a blessing to that person, the likelihood is those walls might crumble down a little more. We all know what that's like, right? You walk into a restaurant or a bar and you meet the person who's serving and they're either really friendly and you think, oh, I'm going to have a good night tonight. Or they're in a really bad mood and you think, I wish I'd chosen somewhere else. It's just normal human nature. So as we try to be a blessing and as we bring Jesus into the conversation, obviously Jesus would have been part of this conversation, right? Because that's why they were going to these towns to say, hey guys, Jesus is on his way. Get ready. The kingdom of God is coming near. If people received that well, and their peace then rested upon them. So what does it mean then if their peace returns to you? Well, here's some complex biblical theology. You ready? What do you think it means? It means when they reject you, when they're not interested, your peace returns back to you. It's like it bounces straight off. You ever met people like that? You've tried to be really friendly and nothing happens. They're still grumpy or don't want anything to do with you. Jesus accepts that there will be two types of responses. People will either receive you, or they will reject you. And that's tough because none of us like being rejected. We're going to come back to that in a little moment. But the key is that we want to be received well, which means we need to take our responsibility in what it means to be a blessing. Some of you have been out with us on the streets over the last couple of weeks, giving out our goodie bags. We've got one here. It's very exciting. It's got a pen, everybody. I know. It's got some sweets and it's got some invitations to Alpha and to Super Saturday. Obviously, they won't have any more because we've done it now. But things like that and some coupons for the local businesses around here because we want to be a blessing to our local area as well as blessing to the people we're giving it to. So we've gone out with our T-shirts into different parts of the town. Alan was a hero on this on Thursday. He was giving out invitations and saying, are you local? And if someone said no, he didn't give them one. How about that? How about that? That's committed to the cause. So we're trying to be loving and serving Jesus, each other, Greater Manchester and beyond. But if you're not from Greater Manchester, you don't get one. That's how it worked. So Alan did an amazing job. There were a whole bunch of, I think two or three Connect groups who came out with us on Thursday. There's another Connect group going out this Thursday into the center of town. Just to try and be a blessing. And it's fascinating watching people as you try and give them one of these goodie bags. Because either they're really warm and receive it well, or they just try really hard to not get eye contact with you. And if I'm honest, I'm that guy in town. All right, you see somebody and you think, oh no, how am I going to get past them? And so the best thing you can do is either whip your phone out and look like you're really busy, start a phone call or a pretend one. Oh yeah, great, hi. Or just eyes down and keep walking. I don't know if you've tried any of those, but they're my top tips for avoiding people with goodie bags. Anyway, there was one person who got home and she was so blessed by the goodie bag. She took a photo of it and put it on Instagram. This made my evening, is what she said. There were other people who just didn't want to know. There was somebody I was literally walking alongside saying, would you like a goodie bag? She said, no, I'm late for a bus. And I was thinking, how is this making you any later? She didn't want to know. The truth is, all we can do is be responsible for how we are towards other people. It's not about how they receive us, but we have responsibility in doing what we can so that they can receive us as well as they can. So trying to be friendly or being a blessing, it's either received or it returns to you. And then verse 7, clearly if it stays with them, if this relationship shows that there is something happening there, verse 7, stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Build a relationship with those who receive you well, if you can. You might just be in a passing relationship. But there are a couple of guys in the flats across the road from us. They don't come to our church, but they know who we are, and we've chatted with them a few times. And we wanted to put some of these in the mailboxes in the apartments. And we obviously can't get in without a key. So we asked them, hey, would you help us and put these in? And they couldn't have been happier to help us. That's a person of peace right there. Somebody who's willing to help you. A person of peace, Jesus seems to suggest, are people who welcome you, people who listen to you, and people who help you. If somebody isn't doing one of those three things, they're probably not a person of peace. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 8 to 12. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Now again, there's masses to say about this and I haven't got time. So just a couple of highlights. Make the most of the people who do welcome you. Offer to pray for them. Yeah, you can tell them about Jesus, but you can also give them the opportunity to see Jesus at work. And when I think through the times that I've offered to pray for people, even people who have no idea who Jesus is, it's very, very rare that they say no. It's a big, scary thing to offer it, but it's really fun when they say yes. And more often than not, they do. And the challenge perhaps for us is when we're talking to people and suggesting and talking to them about why they might want to become a follower of Jesus. And we can talk about Jesus, but we can also let them experience him. We can say, oh, I'll pray for you, and then walk away. Or we can say, can I pray for you right now? And those two things are totally different. But offering to pray for someone right now gives them the opportunity to say yes or no. We're not trying to force it down anyone's throat, but we give people the opportunity to encounter the King right there and right then. So we expect Jesus to do stuff with us. Tell them your story. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Explain why you are a follower of Jesus. There is nothing more significant than your story, particularly as we live in a postmodern culture. So you can debate about truth and you can debate about reality, but nobody can debate your experience and your story. That is not up for grabs. What you have encountered of God is true for you, which is in our postmodern culture what reality genuinely is, and you're offering it to other people. And explain to people, I follow Jesus because, and I thought, well, what's the answer to the question for me? Well, I follow Jesus because I found freedom and forgiveness. I follow Jesus because I found heavenly resources to deal with my insecurity and anxiety. Suffered with panic attacks through my 20s and my 30s, and following Jesus helped me walk out of that into greater confidence. I have a great community to hang out with and who love me. It's great to be part of a church. That's why we encourage people into connect groups. So it's not just about Sunday worship where we can kind of feel on our own and a little bit isolated in a crowd. Connect groups in our midweek gatherings are so important because that's where we get to know that we're loved and accepted for who we are and get to walk out this life with Jesus. I follow Jesus because I've got hope in the midst of Brexit. Thank Jesus that he has a kingdom that will never end. I follow Jesus because he's given me purpose in life. I follow Jesus because, well, what? What's your answer to that question? Why would you say that to anybody? And maybe you're here today and you don't follow Jesus. Well, today's a great day for you to choose to follow him, to say yes to this one who gave everything for you. So let's talk for a moment about what we do if we're rejected. You've said all of this. You've been the most compelling version of yourself. You've taught people about what it is that they can do. We've seen people who've been prayed for and healed, like radically healed, and still not want to follow Jesus. What do you do about that? What do you do when you're rejected? Well, you could take Jesus literally if you really wanted to and take your shoes off, wipe dust off your feet and call and remind, what does it say? Even the dust of your feet we wipe from, dust from your town, we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Just quickly on that, Jesus sent his disciples into the towns of Israel where they were expecting the Messiah. It was the fulfillment of their faith. And so the disciples went proclaiming, the Messiah is coming, get ready. If people then rejected Jesus, it was because they were saying, we're no longer wanting to be a part of God's kingdom anymore. Thank you very much. Now, we're not talking to the lost people of Israel. We're talking to those people who may never even have heard about the good news of Jesus. For those towns of Israel, it will be worse for them to reject the Messiah than it was when Sodom had sulfur rained down on it because of all the things that they had done wrong. That's what the verses 13 to 15 are all about. But what Jesus is saying here is summarized in verse 16. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. You see, the truth is that we could wipe the dust off our feet as a prophetic warning, but what Jesus is giving us the opportunity to do is release them back to him. Is to say, Lord, they're responsible for their response. I'm just responsible for inviting people and telling them about you. It's hard when people say no. It's hard to deal with rejection when it comes. And I mentioned a writer a couple of weeks ago, Michael Harvey, who wrote about the 12 reasons that people don't invite their friends to meet Jesus or his people. And he also, in his research, asked some people how it makes them feel when someone says no to them when they invite them. This is what they say. I felt inadequate. It made me feel ignorant. It was an attack on my ego. It shook me to the core. I felt undermined. It made me feel small. I feel exposed. It sapped my confidence. It dashed my hopes. Welcome to church, everybody. Making you feel good on a Sunday morning. His point is this. The people who wrote those things were lawyers and doctors and business people and teachers. These were confident people in their daily lives, and yet inviting somebody to church and being told no made them feel 6 years old and like they were back at school being rejected on the playground again. What do we do when we get rejected? Well, I'd suggest that this comes back to that whole sense of vulnerability once again. Being rejected exposes stuff within us that's going on deep within that more often than not we don't think about. And it allows us the opportunity to go deeper with ourselves, to go deeper with God, and to go deeper with our friends, to deal with the insecurities that are there deep within. It can help us learn to forgive others. Jesus said, "Forgive others as you have been forgiven." And we're encouraged to face our fears in this way. We demonstrate courage by saying, I'm not going to respond to the insecurities within. I'm going to push through and tell my friends, my colleagues, my neighbors about the love of God in Jesus. Bear Grylls says this, I've learned that the best way over our fears is right bang through the middle. If you feel anxious or concerned or afraid or would really just rather not do it at all, the only way we get over that fear is to face it and go through it. Michael Jordan, the basketball player, says this, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed. Jesus invites us to share his vision of the harvest field. All these people who could have deep meaning in their lives as they find their purpose in Christ. And so we face our fears, seeing the vision and praying to the Father. accepting our own weaknesses and our vulnerability. We invite people, we talk to them about Jesus, and we see how they respond. And if they respond well, great. We build some relationship, we share some of our story, and we offer to pray for them. And if they don't respond well, we release them to Jesus. We move on. We love them, we accept them for the decision they want to make. We honor them as those who are made in the image of God, but not wanting to say yes to him. And we ask, Lord, all right, well, what's next? Where do we go? And who do we speak to now? I'd love for you to invite people to the Alpha launch party in a couple of weeks' time. I'd love for you to say, I'll come along with you and just see what happens. Share the good news of Jesus with others. That's what Jesus did for us. And it's what he invites us to do for others too. Should we take a moment to pray? Why don't we stand and we'll pray. I said a couple of weeks ago, maybe you're like Lizzie and absolutely loves the idea of meeting new people and talking to them about things that you might share with your best friend, and she's amazing at being open. Or maybe you're more like me and are really shy and would really rather not do any of these kinds of things. Thank you very much. Lord, I'd just rather be watching the rugby. Lord, thanks for giving absolutely everything for us. Your very life. So that we could know a relationship with the Father. And Lord, we just say we're sorry where the cost is a bit too much for us. Lord, very often we feel like those lambs amongst the wolves. And we're so grateful that you are with us, encouraging us to face down our fears, to accept our vulnerabilities and weaknesses, just as you accept them. And to speak of your love to others. Lord, may we be those who invite others, just as you have shared your love with us and invited us to share eternity with you. So just say, come, Holy Spirit, and we'll just give the Lord a moment for him to speak to you. What is the Lord saying to you? What is he wanting to identify in you from what it is I've said or from what we've sung about in worship? What's the Lord saying to you this morning? Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. More often than not, we offer an opportunity for prayer for people and give out words of knowledge and prophecies and things like that. I'm not going to do that today. We'd love to pray with you if you want someone to pray with you individually, but this is what I'd like to do. I want to commission us using the words of Jesus. And then we're going to worship and we're going to ask Jesus to fill that part of us which is full of the weakness and insecurity and vulnerabilities. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. Lord, we want to go in your power, in your authority, in your confidence, in your love, and in your joy. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.